You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
And welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday the 25th of August 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, on Radio Aryan, and of course I'm joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and the Freemasonic Victors of World War II, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm the most abused Nazi on YouTube.
Definitely the most patient Nazi on YouTube, I think. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. I've recovered from my bashing.
Fresh from your debate with some really crazy people. I mean, I really never thought that there were still people like that left around with the advent of the internet. Yeah, you certainly have. We've got, we've got some comments which we're going to debunk tonight, a channel which Dennis managed to find. First off, how on earth did you manage to find that channel, Dennis? What was it that attracted you to it?
Well, it seemed to be pro-New World Order, and I just left a comment on there, and then I got all hell brought loose.
Yeah, accusing you of being a troll and all
you
sorts.
You were about me, and...
Yeah.
Misinformation.
Really wild ideas on there. Basically, it's a channel that appears to be run by somebody who's trying to promote the idea that Jesuits are controlling the world, and it's a big Jesuit conspiracy. And no matter whatever you do, don't mention the Jews. It's nothing whatsoever to do with the Jews. So it basically just seems to be a front for trying to cover up the facts of what's really going on. And there were Dennis was really patient throughout all of it. But some of the comments that they've actually aimed at you are just so laughable. Yeah, well, they're just hilarious. I mean, we can go through them and point out why they're wrong and maybe where the idea actually came from that they got this, because there are still people around that think that there is a Jesuit conspiracy. They think that the Catholic Church is running things. But, you know, first off, how can the Catholic Church be running things when we have laws to protect the Jews? We have laws to protect us from... protect the Jews from all criticism. There are no laws to protect Catholics from criticism. You know, you can attack Catholics all you want.
Can't you?
Yeah, it's all you have to do is look at who you can't criticize to find out who it is that rules you. And let's just go through some of these comments then.
Yeah, some viewers, they're going to have a laugh at this one, I'm sure.
Yeah, the first one, they say, well, World War II was a Jesuit-controlled war for a Roman Catholic quest to rule the world. Now, for some reason...
Can we just start with my comment?
Well, yeah, we're going to get to your comments in a bit. Start with your comment. What was it you said to them that started them off?
Right. World War II was a war between Christian morality and Jewish degeneracy. Now we have to live in it. That's all I said.
So that's what started them off. That was their response. World War II was a Jesuit-controlled war for Roman Catholic quest to rule the world. And then they start attacking you. A Roman Empire never died, you brainwashed fool. They morphed into a satanic cult known as Roman Catholic Church. Watch the video and shut your ignorant mouth. Now, I just want to point something out about this. Whenever you see these leftists... and whenever you see atheists, and a lot of the time whenever you see pagans arguing against Christians, they will come out with loads of insults like this. They'll be really aggressive and angry and throwing insults at you. And really, you know, straight away that they're not after the truth. They're not after the truth. If they were after the truth, they would be civil about it, and they would want to have a debate. But these guys didn't want to have a debate. They instantly he wanted to shut you down. He didn't want you to put the facts there. He wanted to just insult you so that you left the website. But all credit to you, you stayed there and you kept debating them. And the next bit they said the Israel of today was founded by Jesuit-controlled high-level Freemasonry. They said Zionism was founded by the Pope serving the Jew, Theodore Herzl. Yeah. And I don't get this. He's saying that it's run by Freemasons and Jesuits in there. And yet what he's saying there, the Pope served the Jew, Theodore Herzl, by giving them Israel. So he's even contradicting himself and saying that the Pope is serving the Jew. But what is the connection between Roman Catholicism and Jerusalem and the Israel of today then, Dennis?
Well, I mean, the Catholic Church, for starters, isn't the original Catholic Church. It has been taken over. It's not ruling Freemasonry. It's subservient to Freemasonry. They've been at war for 2,000 years. Pete Michael Jones, you know, since the foot of the cross, you know, there's been this constant battle, which right up to World War II, unfortunately. The Hitler, who was representing Rome, in a way, you know, I mean, the nationalistic salute, the Roman salute, all been banned after, and Vatican II came along and...
You've just gone silent, Dennis.
Catholic Church.
Sorry, yeah, we lost a little bit from you there. I think we can agree with them that the Roman Catholic Church of today is infiltrated and it's not Christian and it's not promoting Christian ideals. Yeah. But it wasn't always that way. I mean, what the idea that they're trying to push is that the church started out as this Roman Empire that goes back to the pharaohs, according to them. And the Jesuits are this spooky arm that's controlling everything today. And I think we could get into some of the reasons why they think the Jesuits are involved in it a little bit later. But one of them tries to debunk what you have to say, Dennis, because he says he's seen your videos and he says they're misdirection with truth mixed in. And he says that you leave out the fact that Hitler was fully controlled and financed by the Pharaonic family Swiss Octagon Templars. Now, have you ever heard of that before? Pharaonic family Swiss Octagon Templars? Who are they?
Well, there's this YouTube channel which goes into all this, and he kind of gives it that Hitler was working for these Swiss bankers all in with the Rothschilds. And that's where I found, for communism by the back door, I found the graveyards of the Christian soldiers who fell at Omaha Beach, and they're at the Omaha Memorial with the great big pyramid and the eye on top overlooking them. And the place is full of Freemasonic symbols. Communism, that's what it's telling everybody. But this guy never...
You're still cutting out, Dennis. Let me try calling you back. Let's see if we can get this better. Let's see if it's Skype. Hello again, Dennis.
Yeah.
Let's see if that's any better. I find it suspicious that they're trying to blame Swiss families, Swiss bankers. We know that the banking system is Jewish, and if there is any part of it that isn't Jewish, then I'm sure they would like to make it Jewish. And I think these Swiss banks are run by Jews anyway. I don't think there's a secret Swiss society that's running everything. I think the Swiss are just, you know, fairly peaceful people. They were neutral during the war. And I don't get this pharaonic families bit, these pharaohs. He keeps trying to bring Egypt into it. And I don't know who he thinks the Egyptians, who their legacy was left to, but it's Freemasons and Jews, really, when you think about it. The ancient Egyptians, they became mongrelized, they became Arabs, they became mongrelized with the Canaanites who became the Jews, basically. Nothing to do with the Israelites that were in bondage to Egypt. These pharaonic families, the rich pharaoh, that idea is with the prime minister that we have. That's the grand vizier, the pharaonic grand vizier. That's what we've ended up with. But originally, Egypt was, it was a white civilization. It was pretty good when you think it. When you look at the history, they taxed the people so that they could provide for a welfare state. And the welfare state became invaded by foreigners. And eventually the foreigners were raised up above the Egyptians, and all the money was going to the foreigners and all the food was going to them. And I've read a lament by an ancient Egyptian who's, you know, pretty much crying about what's happened to his country. But it got taken over by the bankers, and it's the Jews all over. So the Jews you know, they, wherever they go, they will infiltrate and they will take over with their usury and with their banking. But this guy seems to think it's Swiss, and he thinks it's the Templars. Go on.
Yeah, does he mention somehow why did...
You've just cut out again, Dennis.
Switzerland.
You've just cut out again. Let me try you on another line.
Again.
Let me try you on another line. See if it's, you know, if it's at my end, maybe it'll work better if I call you on another line.
Well, I can hear everything on this end. It's fine.
Yeah, well, I can hear you there. It just seems to cut out. I mean, we can leave it if you want.
No, if you can sort it.
Right, yeah, I can hear you okay now.
I'm sure it must be annoying.
Yeah, well, it seems to be okay now. Maybe it's just a glitch. Where do we get to? Well, the next bit he says about... Go on.
They were saying, like, well, why didn't Hitler invade Switzerland? This was his big thing. And like I said to him, well, why didn't he invade Sweden? We're both neutral.
Well, that was it, wasn't it? The countries that he invaded were all actually a threat to Germany. Well,
Rothschilds, yeah. I mean, obviously, any country what could launch an attack from Britain with a Rothschild leader, he has to take down.
And also, anywhere that could be used to as a springboard for actually getting into Germany as well, wasn't it? Because you had some countries that declared that they were neutral, but they weren't really neutral. I think Norway, wasn't it?
No.
They had to secure Norway.
Yeah,
what Churchill was doing.
Yeah, well, Norway was a different kettle of fish for Norway. Hitler got in there before Churchill. To be quite honest, if you talk to Norwegians today, you know, the general consensus is the Germans were fine. It wasn't, you know, it was just propaganda.
Yeah, I think you're still cutting in and out, Dennis. Let me try you on this other. Let me try you on another line. Sorry about this. Let's try him on another Skype. Hello again.
Yes.
Right. Let's see what it's like on this one. Let's see if it stays there. I got most of what you were saying, but, you know, some of it was just cutting out. And if it's cutting out from part of your sentence, then not really making a lot of sense.
Sorry.
Yeah, the next bit it says, he talks that you leave out the fact that the banking cartel, with its network of global corporate control, built the camps. I mean...
I've never seen a Jew banker build anything.
Well, where does he... well, I mean, to say that he built the camps in the first place, we know that they're just work camps. And... I mean, why would they need to borrow the money from elsewhere to do that? I mean, they set up their own banking system. They didn't need to borrow money from elsewhere once Hitler had taken power. Before then, companies would invest in them, the same as companies, industrial capital. It gets moved around the world and people invest money in one area in order to make money from that, from their money, to build investment. And obviously,
for your communism as well. So a lot of capitalists who only realised that Hitler was the only one who could really put a block on communism. Again, this is why Ford would say.
Yeah, he's still cutting out, Dennis. Do you know what to do?
They got me to in-house microphone instead of the one I'm using.
I don't know. It was fine before we went on air.
I'll give it a whirl. I'll give it a whirl.
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to try it with a different microphone, did he say?
Yeah, I was going to do it with the microphone on the computer. Maybe that'll work.
Okay. You still there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. I think you.
Yeah,
I'm
on computer mic now.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll try it with that, shall we?
Okay.
Yeah, and he says that as well as these camps, pouring money into the camps, he says that it was the Swiss Nazi Octagon Templars that poured money into Germany for Hitler's economic miracle. Well, if they were Nazis, then what's wrong with them putting money into their own country? And again, if they were Swiss, you got Swiss Germans.
Yeah. Well, am I still cutting out?
No, you're still there, I think.
Oh, good. You just went quiet.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to speak.
All right. Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, another one, what they usually throw at me, like, is that he never bombed City of London. He dropped a bomb on Palace. He never wanted to bomb London in the first place, but, I mean, he threw a bomb on Buckingham Palace. That's in City of London.
Well, he was encouraged to bomb London by Churchill. Churchill was desperate to get him to actually start bombing London. So he had an excuse for going in there and attacking Germany.
Exactly.
I think you're sounding all right there now, Dennis.
Okay, then, well, that long.
Well, next he comes up with, and that you're also hiding the fact that Hitler was looked after the war in Argentina, where a Bavarian enclave was created for him in the 30s, and that's why there are so many Swiss in Argentina, apparently.
I never knew there were.
Well, he seems to have this real thing against the Swiss and the Catholics and the Jesuits, but don't mention the Jews, basically.
Well, no, I mentioned them, and that's when they jumped on me. Is this Henrik Larsson?
I'm not sure. I didn't really want to mention their names. I didn't really want to, give them the publicity. Yeah, really.
You're going to do them any good, like.
Give them the reward of talking about them.
Henrik Larsson says, Dennis, your tricks will not work here. I've seen your videos. There's truth in there, thank you. But Rome never died. And the endless debate of the Zionists versus Rome is much easier when you understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers in high places. There were no good sides in World War II. Well, you know, I tend to disagree with that one.
Well, you know, we are fighting against spiritual evil in high places, but so was Hitler fighting against spiritual evil in high places. And he liberated half of Europe from the spiritual evil in the high places. And bringing up these banks that helped out before the war. I mean, this guy is saying, oh, Henry Ford supplied the Nazi engines. But Henry Ford was an amazing guy, a really, really good man, one of the best white people that have ever lived. He looked after his workers. I was just learning about him today. He doubled the wages of his workers. He did more for them than any other union did. He did...
hated communism.
Yeah, he lowered their hours. He hated communism. He exposed the Jews. And obviously, he wanted to help Germany out. He clearly wanted to help out Hitler if he could. So I don't see why that's an accusation of something that you're supposedly hiding, Dennis. Have you been hiding the fact that Henry Ford helped the National Socialists?
No, not at all. I mean, I said that to him. I said, they've denied that he funded Hitler. I mean, a lot of big business did do. So, you know, it's not, this is old news. Yeah. These nutters on this, I don't know. He says, his mate says at one point, Henrik Larsson, I have also seen Dennis White's videos, and they are misdirection with truth mixed. He omits that Hitler was fully controlled and financed by the pharaonic families of the Swiss Austrian Templars. They are the current banking cartel. Dennis omits that the banking cartel, with its networks of global core control, built the camps, even the railways, by the US corporations. Henry Ford supplied the Nazi engines, but it was the Swiss Nazi Austrian Templars that poured the money into Germany. Very good.
Well, why would they need to have investment from other countries when they had their own bank and they were producing their own banknotes and producing their own money in the first place?
Well, this is a question that they've got to ask these.
they don't seem to understand that. And this bit where he says that about the Romans, especially ruling YouTube, You know, I don't know where he gets that from. What are these Romans doing with ruling YouTube? What have they done with that? They've banned anyone from exposing the Jews. Next, he says, next it's got you there asking them, well, what were the Bolsheviks then? Were they Jesuits? And then we've got a classic reply from him on that one. He says, dude, they were high-level Freemasons used as a scapegoat to later blame the peasant Jews and later to send the peasant Jews to the slaughter. Have you ever heard of peasant Jews before in your life, Dennis?
Well, like I've never heard of Bankers Bill, Dennis. I don't know what world he lives in.
You're still cutting in and out all the time. It's not really possible to make out sentences.
Is it not? Yeah. Well, yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Yeah, I can hear me perfectly.
Maybe I should just hand it over to you.
No, well, I don't know what I don't. I really don't know what to do. Apart from, you know, try calling you. Okay, we should be back on air. Let's see how things go from here. Hopefully people can still hear me, and hopefully people will now be able to hear you. I do apologise about that. Do apologise about that. I was just asking you then whether you'd ever heard of peasant Jews before, Dennis.
No, I haven't. That's a new one on me. I mean, they've always pleaded, you know, poverty and hardship, but I've never felt that was a total case, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're always saying that they're hard done by and they've been kicked out of all these countries, but I've never actually heard of, you know, peasant Jews are farming Jews, aren't they? That's what they would be. They would be farmers, people that work the land.
Well, normally the Jews lend them the money because they need it.
Yeah, that's their main way of making money, is to get the farmers and the peasants, get them hooked on alcohol, and then get them to borrow the money to go for the alcohol.
Off the plough, yeah.
Yeah, from the next harvest. Sell the plough, sell the farm. I mean, I don't know where he's getting his information from, saying that these were peasant Jews and the Bolsheviks were Jesuits.
Well, there are some people who over the years have said it's the Jesuits. I mean, there were one or two debates on the internet, you know, whether it was the Jews or the Jesuits. I never felt it were, to be honest, you know what I mean? I mean Rothschilds, to me, as far as I was aware, the first Jesuits were Jews.
Well, yeah, Ignatius Loyola wasn't he?
Yeah. In fact, I think the Catholic Church got rid of him at one point.
I think the problem is, if you're looking back at it at that time, they had a lot of these converso Jews that were, some of them were serious and they did seriously try to follow Christianity, but a lot of them were Muranos and they just wanted to infiltrate the church and take it over from within.
Yep.
A lot of them did. And the ones that wanted to take it over from within and legalize the Talmud and the Kabbalah, they were the ones that succeeded. And the ones that genuinely tried to take on Christianity and exposed what the Jews were doing, they were the ones that got attacked by these higher placed ones.
Exactly. There's been one or two good ones over the years, but I mean, like, they're few and far between, you know. They do stick together.
And one of the accusations that gets levelled against the Jesuits is that these psychological things that they did. They said you had to believe in the church and they had to swear these oaths and they were like a secret society. But when you think of what they were trying to do, it was like one force against another. You had the force of Protestantism, you had the Reformation, and everything that the church owned was going to be taken by the state, by the secular powers, giving rise to capitalism and communism and what we have today, and democracy, taking the power away from the people who should have the power, and they wanted to fight against that. And of course, they had to form a secret society in order to do that. And it was their fight back against what was happening, democracy, capitalism, communism, that became the model for these for these other intelligence agencies, I think.
Yeah,
a lot of them.
That's true. I don't believe that. Yeah.
So I don't think we can. I don't think we can, you know, attack them that much. And these Jesuit schools are apparently, they have some of the best education that you're going to get, that you're going to get anywhere. Some of the, you know, the cleverest people have been educated at these Jesuit schools. I wouldn't say Jesuits were anything like the Freemasons.
Well, people criticise them when, you know, I mean, these missionaries and whatever. But I mean, when they landed in Mexico, I mean, I think the Aztecs were killing 60,000 a year in sacrifices. So they've done some good, you know what I mean?
Well, I think they've done a fair amount of good. If you look at what the good that the Catholic Church has done as a whole, it's done a lot of good. It's only really been since the 15th century that it was infiltrated and taken over and corrupted.
Yep.
It's only been since then. But what these guys seem to be saying is that there's a conspiracy that goes all the way back, and the church has been corrupted since the very beginning. They're very much against it. But without the Catholic Church, they wouldn't have the Bible. You know, the original Catholic Church, the original Catholic Church fathers, that collected it together and translated it and translated the books and the letters.
Yeah, but to be fair, I often get thrown at me that the Catholic Church is not Christian, which is an insult to me as a Catholic and the 1.2 billion others. Of course we believe it's Christian. I mean, this present one isn't. But the actual original church is obviously Christian. People don't seem to get their head around that one.
Well, this is the thing. For the first 1,000 years, you had one church. And in that church, you had the Celtic Church, which was the Culdies, the original British Church, the Irish Church. You had what later became the Roman Catholic Church. And you had what later became the Eastern Orthodox Church. And they were all one church. And what Catholic meant was universal, and it meant that there was one set of prayers that was being said in every country, one set of gospels that was being read in every country, one statement of belief that was shared among these different peoples that spoke different languages. And they also only had one language that the scriptures were read out in. You know, they were read out in Latin. And before that, they were read out in Greek. And it was because of that that the Roman Catholic Church didn't want the Bible to be translated into other languages, because to have it at its most accurate, it needed to stay in the language that it was first written in, really. Going back to Jeremy translating his Vulgate, and it was then in 1050, I think it was, that was when we got the first split, and the Eastern Orthodox Church went one way, and the Roman Catholic Church went the other, and it was basically over the position of the Pope, whether he was the first among equals, or whether he was above everybody else. That was the root of it. But there wasn't really any argument about doctrine. Doctrine was pretty much the same, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He had heretics.
Well, what else
crimes there? Well, I mean, after this, I mean, you've pretty much exposed him there just by laughing at him, asking him what these Bolsheviks were. But then he's telling you that don't forget, he says, Dennis Wise, do not forget that communism is created by Jesuits. Now, I don't know where he would get that from.
How could I forget that?
Where would he get that from?
Half a documentary on Bolshevism.
And now it comes from Jesuits. I think I think what he does is he makes tenuous links. Because if you look at some of his replies later on, he's talking about people have been educated at Jesuit schools, so they must be a Jesuit. Maybe Karl Marx was educated at a Jesuit school, but that leaves out the fact that Karl Marx was an ethnic Jew and his father was a rabbi. And his ideas came from the Talmud, and it was basically putting the Talmud into practice. It's a Talmud for the Gentiles is what communism is. Just fulfills everything that the Talmud says that the Jews should do to rule over all the Goyim. Yeah. But he wasn't taught that at Jesuit school.
I had a quick look at a bit of Talmud this week, and it's probably one of the most racist books I've ever seen.
Well, it is. It's completely racial supremacist. But I think this is where the this is where he gets this idea from. It's like earlier when he's talking about Israel Shamir being a Jesuit, but he's talking about a Jew being a Jesuit. The fact is that the what we're up against is an ethnicity, a group, a people group that are pitted against us and have been for thousands of years. And
plotted and schemed, and all the plans are coming together. These are long-term plans, not coincidence.
No, this is it. It doesn't matter how they're educated. It doesn't matter if they're on the left or on the right, if they say they're Roman Catholic, if they say they're evangelical, if they say they're Buddhists. They're still Jews, and they're still going to do what Jews do. So half the people that he thinks are Jesuits as part of this Jesuit conspiracy are really ethnic Jews. And of course they're going to go to the best schools.
Yeah.
They're going to go to a Jesuit school because that's the best school.
Well, I asked him at one point, who do you think runs Wikipedia? Just for crack, really. And he come back and said, I thought he'd never ask. I believe it was a co-founder of Jimmy Wales, an undeniable Catholic and a Jesuit educated. So I pointed him to the video where they actually admit they run it, Jews. And it's still going.
Well, that's exactly it, isn't it? I mean, Jimmy Wales, is a Jew, but because of the fact he went to a Catholic school, I mean, this guy thinks that that makes him a Jesuit.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. I mean, I don't know where they come from, I really don't. I mean, they're actually saying that, you know, the Rothschilds are low down in the pyramid. It's the Jesuits who are up there at the top.
So he thinks that the Rothschilds are working for the Roman Catholics when the Roman Catholic popes ended up hocking everything. All of Peter's pence they pledged as collateral on a loan just about 100 years ago. So they owed everything. Everything that came in from the Roman Catholic parishioners was used as collateral on a loan from these Rothschilds. And if it's the Rothschilds that are loaning the money to the Pope, it's not the Pope that's in charge, is it?
It certainly isn't. And I don't think Rothschilds work for anybody, only Lucifer. So, you know, where do we get that one from?
Well, they're quite in bed with these Jews, but it's certainly not the Jews dancing to the tune of the Roman Catholics. And if we look at the corruption of the Roman Catholic Church, it's all Jewish corruption. It's things that the Jews encourage, isn't it?
That's right. Well, I mean, that's why they brought out the Inquisition, because they had to go into a secret organisation themselves to get to the Jews who were causing all this hundreds of years ago. I mean, if they hadn't brought out the Inquisition, they'd be facing today then.
Well, they try to pretend that the Inquisition was somehow a bad thing today, don't they, in Hollywood?
Yeah, I don't think it was that bad a thing at all. It kept these heretics and Jews in the place.
Well, the problem was it goes back to this problem with the Muranos and the crypto Jews. You had Jews that were pretending to be Christian, but that weren't, and were taking advantage of that fact to corrupt the Christian faith and get involved in usury and promoting sodomy and all sorts of wicked things. And then they would say, "Oh, but I'm a Christian and I just sinned a bit." And they would say that on the outside, they would pretend to be saying their prayers, while when they were at home, they were studying the Talmud. So they had to find out, you know, who was a genuine Christian and who wasn't, and get rid of the ones that weren't.
Yeah, they're probably the most religious Christians and all, like, on the face of things, you know what I mean? But, I mean, we're not the real kind of worms here. I'm sure there's listeners who will disagree with us. Even, you know, because I know the stick I get, during this latest documentary about Freemasons and the Catholic Church, etc. You know, there's one or two attack me. Just the hate religion, whatever it is. So, but I mean, it's not about that. It's about the fact that the part that religion has played in what we're talking about and World War II anyway. You just can't ignore it because, you know, that was all part and parcel, in fact, a big part.
Oh, it was a huge part of it, I think. I mean, the communists wanted to destroy religion. And on the Western side, they still wanted to destroy religion, but they just weren't so extreme about it. They wanted to do it slowly. They wanted to introduce liberalism and humanism and relativism, where the communists just wanted to smash it all. The left and the Western side just wanted to gradually dilute it away until there was nothing left.
Yeah, they've got this soft communism going, haven't they?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
I call it soft communism.
Yeah, it's a good term I think you've got there. Another point that he tries to make is he says that Freemasonry was created by the Knights Templars, the Order of the Temple of Solomon. Well,
it possibly went back even further than that. We don't know for sure, but I know I did a bit on communism by the back door, and they were talking about the first meeting going on in Herod's temple, or Herod's palace, or whatever it was. They called it the something force. Can't remember what we're calling there. So there's possibilities it went far back then. But organized Freemasonry, I know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, we've discussed it before, haven't we, about it's Herod's temple that it goes back to rather than Solomon's temple to God, which eventually became corrupted. But these Templars, I mean, that goes back. You've got to look at the name, the Order of the Temple of Solomon. You've got to look at the Crusaders. And what was it the Crusaders were doing? Yeah. Well, they were going out to Jerusalem. And who was it they met when they were out in Jerusalem? Well, they met these Jews. And what is it that the Templars ended up doing? Well, they ended up doing banking. They ended up getting involved in usury, and they were the first to invent the checkbook system. And the knights would give all their possessions to the Templar bank in the country they were in. They'd receive a bit of paper, and then when they got to Jerusalem, they could cash in that bit of paper. So it was a very early banking system. But this banking system, that idea came from the Jews.
Yeah, and then come from some satanic source before then. Yeah, the Kabbalah, I'm sure.
Yeah, the ideas that the Templars had, they're all based on Jewish ideas. And once Freemasonry started, which was, 300-400 years later, after the Templars, some of them escaped, went to Scotland, then they formed these Freemason lodges. Once they began, the Jews became members of these Freemason lodges, because by this time you had the Reformation. The Jews had been out of England since 1290, so the English people didn't know what they were like, and they wanted the Jews to come back to England because they thought they would become Christian. You know, you had this big movement trying to convert the Jews into becoming Christians, and the Jews were almost idolized because they hadn't been in England for 200 years, 300 years. We didn't remember what they were like. we thought they were going to be like the people from the Old Testament. Which of course they weren't. So when they did come back into England, and we had these Freemason lodges, looking into the Temple of Solomon and what have you, well, of course these Jews could join, and they were looked up to as special people with special knowledge of the scriptures. And we would ask them how to translate the scripture. Ask the devil how we should be reading the Bible.
I think at some point, they kind of persuaded some of the English that they were like, because this Israeli thing going on in Britain, I think Queen Victoria, I think she was the first one to think that she was from this line of David. They've joined together with the Jews and their type of thing, such as the royal family, and the Jews are married into the royal family now.
Well, they have now. I was just looking the other day at Prince William, and I was looking at his head, at the proportions of his head, and I was thinking, well, he's got the same proportions as a Negro. He's got a really small top part of his head and a really big bottom half to his face. I mean, that's the sign of a mongrel. And where would that mongrelisation have come
in? Through the family, that one,
through the Jews.
I mean, they all got bald at 15.
Yeah, well, all those sort of things. So, that's signs of mongrelization. Lady Diana, she was a Jewess. Now, I would suggest that's where the Jewry came in. And if you talk about lines going back to King David, you're talking about Israelites there and the tribe of Judah before they'd become mongrelized. And they didn't become mongrelized until for centuries after that. And the lines had split off by that time. There's a story about Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and he came to Ireland with two daughters of the last king of Israel, because the last king had his eyes poked out, I think, and he was carried off to Babylon. He had two daughters. They escaped with Jeremiah, and they came to Ireland, and then they married in with the Irish kings, and they brought with them the Bethel stone, which is the stone that Jacob slept on when he saw his ladder with the angels on it. And that's the stone of Scone. That stone was carried to Scotland, and then King Edmund brought it back from Scotland to London, and that's the stone that all our royalty has been
under the throne.
Coronated on, yeah, because this stone goes all the way back to there. And apparently that was that when the daughters of this last king of Israel, when they married the king of Scotland, or was king of Ireland, that linked the two lines together, because all the royalty from Britain before then goes back to Brutus the Trojan, and Brutus the Trojan goes back to the twin brother, one of the twin sons of Judah, because Judah had two sons, they were twins. One of them gave birth to the Davidic line, King David, and the other line just disappears from the Bible. And
Well, you're more familiar with this than I am.
Well
studied on this, I know you are.
I see, it's fascinating stuff, but this is where this confusion comes in, because we see these Jews today, these mongrels, and we think, oh, they must have been like that, 2,000-3,000 years ago, but they clearly weren't, because the Israelites wrote the Old Testament and the New Testament. It wasn't written by Jews. It wasn't written by bankers and pornographers and sodomizers. No. It would have been like a porno magazine if they'd written it.
I think according to Henrik Larsson, it is.
Well, they've got some very strange ideas. Another thing they say is, they say, we know that the Jews are actually Egyptian if one reads the secrets of the Exodus. Now, I've got the secrets of the Exodus. Before I was racially woke up and discovered the truth about these things, I was fascinated by all this stuff like that, this Gnostic stuff. There's really not a lot of evidence for it. And if I tell you what the conclusion of the book is, you'll realize just how laughable it is. It claims that the real Israelites of today are the Maasai Negroes of Africa. The ones that drink the cow's piss.
In Paris. Sleeping bags on the street.
Yeah. Yeah. It basically claims that they are the lost Israelites. And it's a very tenuous link, which is just because of the symbols that they have on their jewelry are similar to Jewish writing, and the Jewish writing that they have, this Aleph, the modern day Hebrew alphabet that they use, they didn't even invent until fairly recently. They certainly didn't have it 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago, it was closer to runes. I forget the actual time, how recent it was when they invented the modern day Hebrew alphabet, but they certainly weren't using it 2,000 years ago. They were using Aramaic. So it must have been in the last 500 or 600 years they come out with this new alphabet, yet this book links this new alphabet with the symbols that the Maasai warriors use, so they must be the original Israelites. And it really just shows you how gullible people are, that they would believe stuff like this.
Well, I've just noticed somebody here, actually. It says, the Queen is subordinate to the Crown, i.e. the City of London, which is the home of the Jesuits, founded a Bank of England, since the property of the Holy See, whatever that must mean. British royalty lost its sovereignty in 1213. I now think you should be blocked. He's getting personal. No, so what he's saying is that, and it's true, that the Queen does ask for permission to enter the City of London, but she doesn't ask permission of the Jesuits. She asks permission of the, I think it's a dozen, the Council of 12, which decide the finances of this country, because that 1 mile in London, a satanic 1 mile, is the financial base of Rothschilds. And if Parliament voted to go to war tomorrow, but these 12 in this council decide not to give them any money, then England don't go to war. And I'm pretty sure these were the people what put Churchill in power. But he's kind of making it out that it's the Jesuits. But like I said to him, I don't know if he's taken off or not, but at one point I said to him, if they're so almighty powerful that the Queen has to ask for permission to go into the City of London via the Jesuits, why is it that no Catholic in the UK can have a position of power. Example, as Prime Minister, leaders of the army and the navy, they cannot be Catholics. And the reason for that is obviously is because this is a Masonic country. And so what the Jesuits are doing in London, running things, I don't know.
Well, you can add to that as well. Looking at the Queen has to ask permission to go in there. That's because the Queen doesn't run things. It's the money power that runs things. And it's been the money power that runs things ever since Cromwell killed the King. And a little after that, William of Orange invited the Jews back and gave them the keys to the Bank of England. So that what that is basically saying is... Yeah, it's basically saying that still to this day, the royalty is subservient to the bankers, and the bankers aren't Jesuits. You don't see white people running the banks. You see Jews running the banks, not Jesuits. Well, it doesn't matter what school they went to.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, this video that I watched a while back, I think this is where they get all this from. But it's starting to do my head in there when they're saying like that. I mean, I was listening to somebody the other night, like, and he said that Hitler was to blame for all the wars. And then he had to go up Putin as well. And then I thought, well, I suppose we'll just throw it all in there then.
Well, I think this guy is deliberately trying to deceive people, because what he says doesn't make a lot of sense. He uses one thing to try and disprove another, which disproves something else that he's saying.
Well, he hasn't particularly proved anything, though. He's just come out with a series of statements and swears it's true.
Well, and he also tries to block you. I mean, you were very polite, and you weren't rude, and you didn't come back with lots of insults when they were insulting you.
I always answer. I never know who's reading. I always try not to lose my cool or not to use bad language, because, like I said, I never know who's reading.
And then he's... Well, yeah, and then he's calling you he's calling you a troll and saying that he wants to ban you. And if you look at what he says about his video, he says, share this video and subscribe to this channel for all the videos with the best information about the Jesuits, the Order of Malta, and papal bloodlines. So he's interested in the ethnicity of the Pope, but he doesn't seem to care about the bloodlines of all these people that he's accusing of being Jesuits. Well, never mind the fact that all their bloodlines are the same. They're all Jewish. That doesn't seem to bother him.
No, it doesn't, no. I think I put him right on the SS at some stage as well. So they were based on the Teutonic Order.
Well, yeah, he accused them of being based on the Jesuits, but all the intelligence agencies would have been based on them because they were the first intelligence agency, really.
Yeah, that's right.
They wanted to...
I stumbled on it, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. Suddenly I was misinformation, a Zionist, troll, things I've never been called.
Well, what really surprises me is that there are still people around that believe this stuff. I mean, I really did think that everyone... everybody that is interested in the conspiracy side of things, the alternative explanation for history, I did think that they would all be aware of the lies that we've been told about World War II by now. I mean, maybe these are just young kids. But young kids...
And if they haven't got the proof, get the proof out unless they have it right, but they haven't got the proof. They've got FBI hearsay. Wow. Even their own country can't trust them.
Well, they've seen your videos. They admit that they've seen your videos, but they don't point out anything that's inaccurate in them. They try to say that you're hiding bits that aren't there, and the bits that aren't there are crazy stuff like Hitler having a secret base in Argentina.
Yeah, they lived happily ever after, I suppose.
I guess he flew there in his UFO on his way to his moon base.
Yeah,
there are a lot of crazy ideas out there. There are a lot of crazy ideas out there, and you would think that people would, use their common sense and work out that they're wrong. Who's the guy that came out with this Jesuit conspiracy? Is it Eric Phelps or something, his name?
I can't remember his name. He's got a right distinctive voice. It sounds kind of foreign, but I couldn't, possibly Dutch, I don't know, but he's got a foreign twang to it. And he just talks the same language as these people. Obviously, these people have watched his videos probably. And he's adamant that, you know, what these people say is what he says. But I just can't see where he's coming from because, like I said, a lot of it contradicts it, itself. I mean, look at only last week where, I mean, I discovered the revolution in Mexico. I mean, you're telling me that Jesuits and the Catholic Church are running the New World Order type of thing. I mean, 1923, which is just after World War One, which means the Rothschilds were in power then and the Freemasons would have been then in the Vatican. And yet they were getting wiped out. Catholics were getting wiped out in Mexico and in Spain.
Well, that's just it, isn't it? If the communists were Jesuits, then what were they doing wiping out the Catholics in Mexico?
Exactly.
And I was just thinking about this. I was just thinking about this Phelps character. I'm sure I've read an expose of him a few years back showing that he was a Jew, that he was some diamond merchant and that he was a Jew. So, of course, he has vested interest in promoting the idea that it's Jesuits behind this conspiracy. It's just a cop-out, really.
The first time I've heard that, because I think it were Thomas Piper, he had a debate with somebody about the Jesuits on YouTube, which I listened to, and he was the exact same opinion as me, that the Jesuits were not what people were making them out to be, and it was the Jews. And the Jews have all the power, and the Jews have all the media, the Jews have all the publishing, the Jews have all the banking. You know, I mean, what is the left for Jesuits anyway?
Well, it might be worth making a video or something to highlight that. If this Jesuit conspiracy thing is still doing the rounds and people are still falling for it, might be worth making something on it.
Yeah, I agree. Because it goes with the Hitler occult. I wouldn't mind with the Hitler occult if they'd come every now and again and say, allies occult. But I never hear that one. So, you know.
No, we know the allies are all involved in it. And we know that Hitler got rid of all the temples.
Brought them all back again after World War II. So it's obvious who's into the occult. Do you never get documentaries made about them like Hitler has on YouTube, and they never get taken down?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? A lot of these people that fall for this, they are, you know, they like to think of themselves as Christian. They try to obey Christian laws, but then they end up being against the wrong people. They end up thinking that National Socialists and people that support Hitler.
The problem is, I think, with Christians today, especially the Christians outside of Germany and the ones that fought on the side of the Allies, you know, the descendants. So the Christians today are kind of just don't want to believe whatsoever that Hitler was a Catholic and or a Christian, or that the National Socialists shelved all the different factions of Christianity and invaded the Soviet Union. You don't want to go down that road because of this Holocaust. And people kind of, they'll disown Hitler and whatever like. But then you get the other people who don't particularly like religion, and they'll keep throwing Hitler at them. So, the facts. I mean, you know the facts, man. You know, he did what he did, and actions speak louder than words, like I said.
Yeah, they always speak louder than words. I just think the conspiracy types, you know, most of the time they show that they've got a good spirit there. They're searching for the truth. They try to be good people, but yet they still fall for the Hollywood BS about Hitler being the bad guy and there not being any difference between the races and we're all one humanity, and they fall for it. I just wish they would, you know, think a little bit more and expand their horizons a little bit more and look at some of our information and check out your documentaries, Dennis, and, you know, then they might get a little bit closer to the truth and, you know, they could become allies and we could defeat the enemy once and for all. Anyway, coming near the end of the podcast, Dennis. We've gone a little bit over time, actually. So I'll say thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I do apologize for the problems earlier on. I'll edit that out in the download so you'll be able to get a full download if you've missed any of it. And we'll be back next Friday with another Truthful Out Radio for you. So until then, go out and have yourself a great weekend. Yeah.
tuned into